All right, so we are holding on Chof Beis Amud Beis, five lines from the end of the narrow line. The line begins Bacharata. We've been discussing the whole matter of Hataras Nedarim and the grounds for Hataras Nedarim, whether you have to do a Pesach, which is that you find something, a consequence of the neder that the person didn't realize originally, or whether it's enough to do Charata, that just the person regrets that he ever made the neder.
We say everyone agrees on one of them.
We said that everybody agrees you can use a Pesach. The question is whether you can use Harata. Yes. So now here's another example. It starts off. Mishtabach le Rava le Rav Nachman, but Rav Schoira, Rava one time was praising Rav Schoira to Rav Nachman. So Rava was speaking to Rav Nachman and praising Rav Schoira, the Adam Gadol, who, that he is a great person, a great Talmid Chacham. Amalai. So Rav Nachman says, when he comes to your hand, bring him to my hand. In other words, next time you meet up with him, bring him to me, let me meet him. Introduce him, yeah. Havel and Nidra Lemishra. Now, when Rav Schoira came, he had a neder to be matur. Also, Kamed Rav Nachman. So Rav Schoira came to Rav Nachman, and apparently he wants to be matur neder. Now, Rav Nachman was going to try to find a Pesach to be matur neder rather than Charata. Now, why is that? So the Ran explains that now Rav Nachman himself, we said earlier, he's one of the ones who holds that you can use Charata. But the Ran says 2 points. Number one, either he may have known that Rav Schoira is one of the Chachamim who does not hold that, and therefore he wants to find him dafka Pesach. Or another possibility, the Ran says, the neder may have been, for example, that he's going to fast a certain number of days, that he's going to fast a certain number of fasts. Now he had fasted some of them, and now he realizes he can't continue with it. So now, what would happen if he did Charata? What would happen if it was Matan Neder as a result of Charata? We would say then that means that he regrets having done those mitzvahs of fasting in the first place, and that's not a right thing to do, to regret the mitzvahs that you did. Therefore, we want to find a Pesach. It is true, the result will be the same. The result of being Matan Neder through the Pesach would be as though the Neder still never existed, but at least he won't be openly regretting, I regret that I ever did these mitzvahs. You know, you have an Ataras Nedarim, and I have Rosh Hashanah, we use that line. I don't chas v'shalom regret the good things that I did. I'm just mischaret that I didn't say that should be blue neder. So that would be another reason why Rav Nachman Dafka wanted to use a Pesach for Rav Schoira's neder rather than Charata. So So Rav Nachman starts asking him, when you made the neder, did you consider this possible consequence? Rav Schoira says, yes, I did. I realized that could happen, and I made the neder anyway. Adaita dehachi, and did you have this other consequence in mind? Again, ain. So every Pesach that Rav Nachman is trying to use, Rav Schoira is telling him, I actually did have that in mind when I knew when I made the neder that could happen.
Yeah, but obviously they can happen again.
No. So now there's something else. Now the fact is he's saying he wants to be matur neder, but there's obviously some kind of every possible consequence. You have to realize like this. There is a consequence. There is something we're going to discuss soon in the Gemara, and we're going to discuss later on in more detail in the Masechta, called Noilad. If you have a consequence that was completely unexpected at the time of the Neder, then that's not a valid basis for a Pesach. An example it gives later on in the Masechta, you made a Neder not to have Hanah from Toini. Now that Toini became the sofer of the city. So he's the one who writes the Sefer Torah and Tefillin and Mezuzahs for the people of the city, writes Shtaris and so on and so forth. So that's considered Noila. That's something completely unexpected that the guy should have been appointed that, and therefore that's not a valid basis for a neder. In effect, what Rambam says is you would say, you know what, I would rather that my neder should still be in effect and that guy shouldn't have been appointed the sofer. So maybe the only things that could be found to be matured of Schoira's neder would be Noilad, and that's not going to work. So therefore, but all the things that could have reasonably been expected, Rav Nachman is trying on him, and every one of them, Rav Schoira is saying, I actually had in mind at the time. That's what we talked about the other day. This is what it means, one of the meanings in Pirkei Avos, Al Tisha Lo Bishas Nidre, when a person is making a neder, don't ask him, what are you doing? Because then you're going to end up destroying one or more of his potential psachim. you're gonna say to him, consider you, if you make this neder, there's gonna be such a consequence, and he's gonna say, I don't care, I'm doing it anyway, yeah. And then later on, I can't use it, exactly. So, ikpad, there's a kamazin, and this went on several times, several rounds like that, where Rav Nachman is trying to find a heter for Rav Schoira's neder, and everyone Rav Schoira tells him, I bet that it won't work. Ikpad Rav Nachman, so eventually Rav Nachman was upset, only zil kilach. He says to him, go to your kila. So kila means, so the Ran translates that kilach means your house. The Rosh explains somewhat differently. It means your lodging. Some of the Chachamim many times wouldn't learn in the yeshiva in their hometown. They would travel to a different town and they'd stay someplace locally. Here, the Pashto also, if Rav Nachman didn't know Rav Schoira before, it means he was from a different town. So he's telling him, go to your inn, go to your lodgings. In other words, I give up on you. I can't find a heter for you. Everything I'm trying to do to help you, you're blocking me. Well, Nofak Rav Schoira Pasach Pischa L'Nafshei. Rav Schoira then left, and he ended up finding a Pesach for himself. Now, the Ran and most of the Rishonim learn, that doesn't mean that he can be matter his own neder. Because not so much because he's a Negev Adavah, but because the Pesach implies that, because the implication of the Pesach is Acherim Mechilanoi, other people can break his neder, but he can't. With that said, the Rashba brings a possibility. He says he doesn't like it, but he brings a possibility that some earlier Rishonim than him said that maybe, in fact, it does mean when there's a Pesach, again, we consider as though because of the Pesach, as if the neder to begin with was made by toast, was made by mistake, so therefore maybe that would be valid grounds for Rav Schoira to annul the neder himself. So the Rashba says he doesn't like that explanation, but nevertheless, that such an explanation does exist. But most Rishonim learn that it means that he would find the Pesach, and then he'd have to go to another Rav to be matir neder. Anyway, so he found a Pesach. We say that we have the line in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Rebbe Omer Ezri Derech Mishara Shiyover LaAdam. Rebbe says, what is the straight way that a person should choose for himself? Well, when you have a choice, when you, in some area of life between different alternatives, which one is the best one to pick? Koshi Tiferes Laiseha, the one that is beautiful and for the person himself, that's good for him, the Tiferes Laimina Adam, and it's also good for him by other people, that other people will appreciate it and praise him for it. Now, in other words, the point is, you certainly can't have that only he himself likes it. The Rosh said, listen, everybody's biased in their own favor. You have even a pasuk that says, Derech Evil Yoshev Einav, the way of a fool is straight in his own eyes. Everybody thinks I'm doing the right thing. But when you have it's Feres Lemina Adam, that other people also see it as the straight and right thing to do, then you know you're doing much better. So Rav Schoira says to himself, "Bahashted ikpad Rav Nachman." So now that Rav Nachman got angry at me for making this neder and for not having an available Pesach for it, adaita dehochi leNadri, then I never made the neder with that in mind. That is not tiferes loymin adam. The Rosh Tevis, the ikpad Rav Nachman, yeah, the ikpad Rav Nachman. Now that Rav Nachman got angry, adaita dehochi leNadri. Then when I made the neder, I wouldn't have done it if I knew that Rav Nachman is going to get angry. That wouldn't be Derech Yeshara. That wouldn't be Tiferes Loimin Adam, because he doesn't appreciate it, because it made him angry. Now, a bunch of the Mephoshim point out over here that this is not Nolad. We said before, Nolad doesn't work, but this is not Nolad, because it's normal enough, says the Ran, that yes, if you go to a Talmud Chacham, if a person makes a neder and blocks it so much from being canceled, and we said before, making a neder and fulfilling it is not even really such a good thing in the first place, it's reasonable enough to assume that the Talmud Chacham you go to be matir neder, and who's not able to, is going to get angry, and therefore that itself creates a Pesach. The Shorah Manafshe, so therefore he was able to be matir the neder for himself. Again, according to the Ran, most of the Rishonim, doesn't mean that Rav Schoira was matir the neder himself. It means now, with this Pesach, he went to another Rav to be matir neder. But the Rashba brings the possibility that maybe it means he's actually allowed to be matir it for himself. Because then the Pesach makes it that it was a neder betos, that it was a neder based on a mistaken premise.
And he's allowed to tell this other Rav that this is my...
He would tell the Rav. This is the Pesach that I came up with. And the Rav would tell him that this is... The Rav will tell him if this is a valid Pesach or not. Sure.
So it has to be Derech Yeshara. So this rabbi over there has to be agreeable.
Basically. Okay. Another example. Rav Shimon Berebi Havelin Nidra L'Mishra. Rav Shimon Berebi one time had a neder that he needed to be matir. also Chamayu de Rabbanan, so he came to the Chachamim of his times to be Matan Neder. Amri Lo, and again, they asked him, No doubt, Adaita de Hochi, when you made the Neder, did you have this consequence in mind? Omer Ein, he says, yes. Adaita de Hochi, did you have this other consequence in mind? Ein. Kamazimnin, again, this went several times around. Vahava Mitzari Rabbanan, the Chachamim, we're having great tsar that they're having great tsar that they can't find him a Pesach. Or even they themselves figured our tsar itself might eventually make a Pesach. Eventually he might say, like Reb Skirda just did, that if he realizes it, it's causing the Chachamim such tsar, then he wouldn't have made the neder. Anyway, Mishimsha Latulo Mitulo Lashimsha. They were going back and forth from the sun to the shade and from the shade to the sun. Now, why were they doing that? Maushar explains that in those times, sometimes they had buildings like the Beis Medrash, the local Beis Medrash that Rav Shimon Bar Levi would have gone to. Sometimes even nowadays, you have sometimes buildings are built like this. Part of it is under a roof and part of it is open to the air, like a patio. So what would happen? So when it's cool, they would want to sit in the sunny area. When it's hot, later in the day, when it gets hot, they'd want to move to the shady area. So they were spending hours and hours on this to the point where they started out in the sunny area and they had to move to the shady area because it had gotten too hot. And then later on in the day, it was getting too cold and they had to move back to the sunny area. So they're going back and forth over there. They're spending hours and hours on this. Now, the next two lines that we have over here are in parenthesis because either they don't belong at all, many Rishonim don't have the Girsa, or if they belong, then they belong in the next story. And the word Lishnachrin, another version, Adaita de Hochi Ein, Kamazimnin, they asked him many times whether you had this in mind. Same thing. They were going back and forth from the sun to the shade and the shade to the sun. Anyway, finally, Omale Botnis, Braid Abishol ben Botnis. Finally, Botnis, the son of Abishol ben Botnis. So you have this, the regular Abishol, the one that Abaya, for example, said the Seda Marocha in his name. You have Abishol ben Botnis, who's mentioned in some places in Shas. And then you have this Botnis, who was his son. So there was a chain of generations of Tamil Chachamim in that family. Anyway, so he says, Mina Dauta Daitin Mitstari Rabbanan Matula Lashimsha Mashimsha Latola. When you made the neder, do you have in mind the possibility that Chachamim are going to be bothering so much and going from the sun to the shade and from the shade to the sun? Omaloi said no. Vishalya, and therefore they were able to be Matin Neder based on that. Again, the Ram says it's not Nolad because it's common enough. That it's common enough that Chachamim are going to be putting in tremendous effort to try to find a Pesach for the Neder. And a third example, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi have a Nidra of a Mishra. One time, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi had a Neder that he needed to be Matir. Also, the Kamayu de Rabbanan, he came to the Chachamim of his times. Again, they started asking, can we find a Pesach? When you made the neder, did you have this consequence in mind? Omelu Ein, he says, yes. Nadauta Adaita Behochi, Omelu Ein, also the same thing. Kamazinin, many times. Here is where maybe those two lines before are the Chachamim were going back and forth from the sun to the shade and from the shade to the sun. Anyway, Kivin de Chazau, who Katsura, de Mitzari, Rabbanan, then eventually a certain laundryman who was there came and saw, and then saw how much trouble the Chachamim are going to. They're going back and forth, and they're trying every possible way, and they're sweating over to try to find a Pesach for him, and they can't find one.
What's a butcher called?
A butcher is a katsav. Katsura, so the Rosh explains that the shortish katsar means to make short. So it really what it is because part of the process of washing clothes in those days was also like resizing them. So there you'd often have, for example, the parts of it are starting to wear out, and therefore you cut off those parts. So therefore a laundryman is called katsura.
It's the second time in the last few days we had a laundryman.
Yeah, so we saw off. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. We had yesterday. We had a
laundry. We went back to to tell the Rabbanim that they made up. Rav Shimon Gadol made up.
No, that was actually an Ein Yaakov. That was actually an Ein Yaakov. But yeah. Yeah. No, it is true. It's interesting. We often do seem to find that there are laundrymen in Shas that get involved in stories with the Chachamim. Even the laundrymen and those Chachamim. Yeah. Actually, we're going to see, though, the Gemara is going to criticize this one. But anyway, yeah. Later on in the Masechta, also, now that you mention it, we also have something where it mentions over there that there was a certain laundryman who was able to reconstruct many of Rebbe's shiurim that Rebbe himself had forgotten. So like you say, yeah, even the laundrymen in those times were on a higher level, were on a much higher level than we can imagine. Yeah. We had in Pesuvos also, actually, we had the laundryman who every day would come to visit Rebbe, and then the day that Rebbe passed away, he wasn't there and he was so upset. Yeah. He jumped off the roof. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. So this katsra, this laundryman saw Dimitsari Rabbanan, he saw that the Chachamim are having a lot of trouble over it. Machya b'uchva de katsri. So he hit Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi with his laundryman's colander. So a colander, you know, like nowadays you have, like when you make pasta, you use a colander to drain out the water. In those times, what it is, you think about it, so you have, for example, if you iron clothes, you have a holes in the bottom of the iron for steam to come out to help press the clothes. The equivalent in those days was they had this metal thing similar to a colander with holes in it, which they would use it to sprinkle water on the clothing so that then they could iron it and press it. So now he took that thing and hit Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi with it. In other words, what a chutzpah that, in other words, in effect, he's telling Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi, what are you doing? Why are you causing the Chachamim so much trouble? Omar, so Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi says, I died to the mochi v'katsu alay nadri. I wouldn't have made the neder if I knew that the laundryman is going to hit me with his colander. B'shar yelanafshe, and again, he was able to be mapped with the neder for himself, maybe literally for himself, or maybe just he's able to have the Chachamim now have a Pesach for his neder. Now, what's going on over here? Isn't this a real example of Noilad? Mela, the other one's fine. It's reasonable enough for Nachman is going to get angry when he sees that there's no way to be mapped to the nether. It's reasonable enough for Chacham are going to be going back and forth from the shade to the sun. Is it reasonable that there's going to be a katsra that's going to hit him? So the Gemara asks, Omolet of Acham Egyptu, the Rabbina, Hai Noiladu. Shouldn't this be an example of Noilad? Deloy Masaka Daitin and Machila Katsra. How on earth could he imagine when he made the nether that the laundryman might hit him with his colander? V'tanena. And we learn later on in the Sechta, Ein Poschim LeNoilad. We cannot use Noilad as a Pesach. So how are we able to use that over here? Amalei, so Ravina answers him, Hai lav Noiladu. As a matter of fact, this is not considered Noilad. Because it is common that you have chutzpahdika people who trouble the Chachamim, and even, for example, hit them. Now, in this particular case, this Katsura was doing it as he was standing up for the honor of the Chachamim. They're saying, what are you, Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi, doing things in such a way that's going to cause so much trouble to the Chachamim? Nevertheless, though, what it is the Nemuka Yosef explains, that you had people in those days who would always be looking for an excuse to hit the Talmid Chachamim. So they're not going to do it openly, just out of the blue. They know they'd get in trouble. But here, this guy, this Katsura, realizes now he has a golden opportunity. He can hit the Chacham and claim that he was doing it in defense of the other Chachamim. So therefore, we can still say that such things do happen. So it's not known, yeah.
He still hit the Talmid Chacham himself.
He himself is still Talmud Chacham, but still
he hit a Talmud Chacham,
exactly. That's the Afi Kuri, that's the chutz, that he's a chutzpanyak to do that, to not treat the Talmud Chacham with more respect. At most, in other words, what he should have done is he should have, for example, told Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi, listen, the Chacham are having a tremendous amount of tzara, how could you do this to them? But not to go so far as to do a bizoyan like that to hit. In fact, the Iri actually says an interesting idea in this connection. He says a different word, that you have also a person that he might have realized to himself that, you know what, for doing this, for making a neder and causing the Chachamim so much harassment, so much trouble to try to be matter it, he himself, Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi, should have figured it to himself, he deserves a certain oynesh min hashamayim. So now when he received that oynesh, that itself can be a valid Pesach. And he goes on to say, by the same token, in fact, a person made a neder in later times also, and then he finds that he's experiencing yisurim, that itself could be a Pesach, because that would be a consequence that could be min hashamayim, where he could say, I wouldn't have made the neder if I'd known that such things are going to happen. So that's not necessarily, in other words, I mean, in other words, the Meiri is saying that's not necessarily considered noilad.
he's supposed to take a fast, to fast for 20 days, and since how weak he can't learn. Is that
Pesach? That's something else. That would be a regular Pesach. That's not Noilad at all. That's just a regular Pesach. Because yeah, that's a consequence that should have been foreseeable at the time. So if when he made the neder, he thought to himself, it doesn't matter, no matter how weak I get, I'm still gonna go, I'm still gonna power through, then he's destroyed his Pesach. But if not, in a normal case, yeah, that would be a valid Pesach. And it's not Noilad. But what we're talking about over here is, let's say, for example, in the Me'ili's example, we have to say, let's say, for example, a person made a neder to do something else, let's say not to fast or whatever, and then he became sick, then he can attribute that sickness to, that might be a punishment, Nashamayim, for having made this neder, and therefore that could serve as a Pesach.
That'd be Noilad also.
It's not Noilad, because it's reasonable enough to assume that since we learned on Amud Aleph that Nedarim are not looked on favorably by the Chachamim, that it's reasonable enough to assume that he might end up getting punished Minashamayim for that. Another example involving a neder and the Pesach of it. Dvei Suda Abaya, Abaya's wife, Havala Hahi Brata. She had a daughter. Now, Abaya's wife was actually married several times. Abaya was actually her third husband. We learned in Yuvamis, she had been previously married to two of the Chachamim, and both of them had passed away. And then Abaya went and married her.
He wasn't scared of
that. So he wasn't scared of Kaflonis, because he held it only applies after three times. In the end, in the event, Abaya himself passed away. We learned about her in Kesubas as well. Her name was Choyma. She came to Rava asking him to arrange for Mizonis for her after her husband, after Abaya passed away. And we had a whole dialogue between her and Rava. Anyway, so she had a daughter from a previous marriage. Who omel krivoi? So he, Abaya said, I want her to marry one of my relatives. He omel kriva. And she was saying she wants the daughter to marry one of her relatives. And by the way, if the daughter had been Abaya's own daughter and she was young enough that Abaya himself could force the issue and marry her off. We learned in Ksulas many times that a husband, that his father has the right to accept kiddushin on behalf of his daughter of Tana. But first of all, she's not his daughter. Second of all, she may have been a girl. She may have been old enough that he can't do that anyway. And the mother doesn't have the right to accept kiddushin on the daughter's behalf.
Yeah, she has a choice to go.
Yes, so, right. Anyway. So Omalah, so Abaya says to his wife, Titzira Hana Osi Allah, I'm going to make a neder that Hana for me should be also to you, I Abrit Adatoi, if you go against what I'm saying, Uminsivas Lolikriva, and you marry off your daughter, my stepdaughter, whatever, to your relatives. So there's a neder. Oslos for Abras Aldaita. Well, she went and went against what Abaya said, the Insivala Kriva, and she married off the daughter, arranged for the daughter's marriage to one of her relatives. So now the neder should be in effect. Well, now Abaya is, the one wants to be mat to the neder. After all, he wants his wife to be able to have enough from him, after all. Also, Mechameh, Rabbi Yosef. So Abaya came to Rabbi Yosef. Omale, and Rabbi Yosef asks him, Ilu hava yadis da avret al daitach, if you had known when you made the neder that your wife would end up going against what you said, and she would end up marrying off the daughter to her relative, miadauta, would you have made the neder in the first place? Omaloi, Sabai says no. Shari Rabbi Yosef, and then Rabbi Yosef was able to be matu. That itself is a pesach. In other words, the fact that I wouldn't have made the neder if I knew the other person is going to go against what I'm saying anyway. Now, the Ran brings up the point. We learned in the Mishnah about Nidre Zeruzin. We talked about, for example, you have two people bargaining over an item for sale, and the seller says a neder that I won't sell it for less than four, and the buyer says a neder that I won't buy it for more than two. Mm-hmm. And we said such a neder is not even chal anyway. If they end up compromising on three, then the neder is not even chal. Why wouldn't we say the same thing over here? Why don't we call it Nidre Zeruzin, and therefore and it's not a neder at all? Why is Rabbi Yosef having to look for a Pesach? So first of all, the Ran says we did learn in connection with the Mishnah, the Ran had brought over there from the Yerushalmi, that if any of them are mamid, if any of them says absolutely positively, I won't do it for less than this, or I won't do it for more than that, and I'm not willing to compromise, then we say the neder would be in effect. It's only when they're saying as part of a bargaining tactic, but not when he says mamid, when he says I'm sticking to what I'm saying. So over here that would be the situation. He's not just saying it as a bargaining chip. He is actually sincerely meaning, I demand that she marry one of my relatives and not one of yours, and I absolutely won't accept that she marries one of yours. So therefore, that's more like Mahmud. That's not the Nidre Zeruzin. Then, Then the Ran goes on to say, now look further down on the Amud, we're going to talk about something else. We're going to have an example, another example of Nidre Zeruzin that we're going to start talking about in the next Mishnah, where Reuven wants Shimon, Reuven is pleading with Shimon to eat by him, and Shimon makes a neder and Reuven wants to make a neder, you won't be allowed to have anah from me if you don't come and eat with me. That is also an example of Nidre Zeruzin, and the neder is not chal, even if Shimon doesn't wind up eating with him. So why don't we say the same thing over here? So the Ran says, because you can see, when Reuven wants Shimon to eat by him, what's the logic? Because Shimon won't eat by him, therefore he's gonna put all of his nechasim off limits to Shimon? Not logical. So therefore we can assume that it was just a bargaining tactic. Mashen can over here, that Abaya wants this stepdaughter of his, the Davka Maui, one of his relatives, we can say there is a big payback on it. The fact that when he says, you're going to be also from my nechassim, if you do that, it's not just a bargaining tactic. He really does sincerely mean it bothers him so much that she should end up marrying one of his wife's relatives rather than one of his own relatives. So now, b'dieved, though, that she was over on it, now the question is, unlike in the next Mishnah and the Gemara on it, where it's going to be, where it wasn't a net, where it's not a nether in the first place, because it's an example of Nidre Zeruzin. Here, this was a real full-fledged nether, but we just have to consider, do we have a way of being matter it? And yes, the way to be matter it is, we said that he wouldn't have made the nether if in fact he knew that his wife is going to go again, is going to actually disobey him and actually go so far as to marry off the girl. In other words, he figured when he makes it a nether, his wife's going to say, okay, you know what, in that case, I'm washing my hands of it. Fine, do what you want. But in the end, she didn't. So therefore, so that becomes a Pesach for the nether.
Now you see why all her husbands died.
Now you see why all her husbands died. Could be. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Anyway. So the Gemara asks, "Mi shori ki hai gavna? Is such a thing mutter? How could you say that such a thing is considered a valid Pesach? On the face of it, isn't it noilud or something?" And the answer is ain. As a matter of fact, yes. V'hotanya, and indeed we learn in a braisa something similar. It happened once that a man put his wife under a neder that she shouldn't be ola l'regel. On the face of it, we can't mean real aliyah l'regel to the Beis Hamikdash, because this story happened in the time of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi was one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. He lived several decades after the Churban. So there are different possibilities what we mean by being ola l'regel. The Rosh says that we're talking about on the Yom Tovim, they would have droshes, that they would gather together to hear droshes from the Chachamim. Women would come to those droshes as well. So we don't mean ola l'regel as in going to the Beis Hamikdash, but rather going to one of those droshes. With that said, Maratz Chayas and others talk about the possibility that maybe even after the Churban, there were periods of time they would still go to the ruins of the Beis Hamikdash. They still had Parad Roma ashes for some time after the Churban. They didn't disappear with the Churban. So therefore, we find such a thing in other Gemaras. So we find such things in other Gemaras. So maybe they still may have been able to go up to the site of the Beis Hamikdash when they could sneak past the Romans or whatever. He says maybe even the halacha is, we were talking before about the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael and the Kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash. Nowadays, the Rambam paskins that even nowadays there's no Beis Hamikdash, you are allowed to bring korbanos. The Gemara brings it in some places, as long as you know the site of the Mizbeach. So therefore they may have even been able to. The Mizbeach itself was destroyed, but as long as you know where the location of it was, you don't have to have an actual built Mizbeach, as long as you know the location of it, and even though there's no Beis Hamikdash standing, so you could. So maybe even the Maratz Chayas says maybe even they were able sometimes to sneak in Korbanos and bring them. So therefore, literally, Aliyah L'Regel could mean exactly that, going to the Beis Hamikdash for the Yom Tovim.
Who says this?
Maratz Chayas says this. I mean, the idea that you can bring Korbanos nowadays, it's brought in a few places in Shas, and the Rambam brings it L'Halacha. Interestingly, there have been times over the centuries when there were Chachamim who tried to do something with that. Rabbeinu Yechiel of Paris, one of the Balei HaTosfos, moved to Eretz Yisrael in the year Hey Allah from Yud Zayin, 5017, corresponding to 1257 on the secular calendar, and he intended to go to the site of the Beis Hamikdash and bring Korbanos. In his times already, you had the Dome of the Rock was there that had been there for 500 odd years, but still, he figured that we can still identify the Makom HaMizbeach and bring Korbanos over there. And the other Chachamim of that time had a big argument with him whether such a thing is possible. Al pi halacha, do we actually know the makom hamizbeach? And there are various other considerations that may not make it possible anymore. Nowadays, we're all tamei mess anyway. By Rabbeinu Yechiel's times, part of Adroma ashes were long gone. He was arguing, okay, with the Korban Pesach, you can bring the Truma. So there was a discussion about it. It's a Korban Sibur, so it's Doicha Truma. So yeah, there was a lot of discussion about it. More recent times also. So I don't know about a year or 2 years ago. I know that, for example, after the Six-Day War, there were a few years where they never told people not to be in Yerushalayim, not to be inside the old city, Erev Pesach, because conceivably it might have been possible in the conditions of those times, during the first few years after the Six-Day War, when the Arabs were so scared of the Jews, it might have been possible to go there and bring the Korban Pesach. And then the question is, are we going to do that? You do have the various consideration that they brought against Rabbeinu Yechiel, that you may not be able to do that as a matter of practical halacha. So for a few years, up until the mid-Lamed, the Rebbe would tell people to stay outside the old city on Erev Pesach. That way, they're considered b'derech r'choifa. They're on a far journey, and therefore they can miss the Korban Pesach. Eventually, in the mid-70s, things had changed. By that point, already the Israeli government had already turned over full control back to the Arabs, and then so forth. So then eventually there came the point that Rebbe said it's not necessary anymore, practically speaking. Even if halacha allowed it, nobody's going to be able to go up there to bring the Korban Pesach anyway. Anyway, so the Maharaj Kaya says that over here, when we're talking about going on Aliyah L'Regel, it may literally mean that people were actually going to the Beis Mikdash and bringing Korbanos under the noses of the Romans when possible. Anyway, whatever the case, this man put his wife under a neder that she shouldn't do that. Whether we mean to just go to the local Yom Tov Shir, or whether we mean to go to the Beis Mikdash. Anyway, but overall, she went against what he said and did that. But also L'Regel. So the husband came to Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi says to him, if you knew that she's going to violate what you say, and she is going to go on Aliyah L'Regel, would you have put her under a neder in the first place? So he says, no. And Rabbi Yossi was able to be matu neder on that basis. So the same way Rabbi Yosef says to Abaye generations later, you're in the same situation, so therefore you are also able, we're also able to be matter your neder about your wife in the same way where you didn't know that she would actually go against what you said, and therefore we can be matter the neder on that basis. Again, as the Ram says, it's not nidre zeruzin, like we talked about before, and we're going to talk about the next Mishnah, so it is a valid neder, but it's a neder that we can find a Pesach for. The Ram then goes on to discuss, now that we're at the end of talking about Hataras Nedarim, we're going to revisit Hataras Nedarim later on in a later parak of our Masechta. So he goes, so he digresses over here to talk about the details of who you need to be Matur Neder. You need a Yochid Mumcha, you need one expert, or three Hedyotis, and he goes and then discusses in some detail what we mean, who the Yochid Mumcha would have to be, does he have to have Smicha or not, and who the Shloit, and what are the qualifications of the Shloisha Hedyotis. So he in particular focuses on the Yochid Mumcha. The Ramban holds that it requires somebody with smicha, the original smicha ishmi piyish. The Rambam holds that not anybody who's an expert in the halachas can be considered a yochid mumcha. L'maisa, it says in Shulchan Aruch, we don't have chachamim either way. We have to say we can't be sure that we have chachamim of that kind of caliber who can be considered a yochid mumcha. Certainly not according to the Rambam. The smicha ishmi piyish from Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't exist anymore. But even according to the Rambam, not necessarily do we have somebody of such caliber. And therefore, in practice, when we're matur neder, it's always with a based in a three or more. Okay. Mishnah says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. He also this would be another example of Nidre Zeruzim. Reuben wants Shimon to eat by him, so he puts him under a nether. So he says, if you don't come and eat by me, then you will be also to have hanaf from my nechassim. So he can say to him, kol nether shani osid lider hu batel. So he, the Pashkas meaning Reuben, can say to him in advance, or okay, I'm going to Sabach takes out the word loy, so he doesn't say it to Shimon, but anyway, he can say, any nether that I'm going to make in the future, hu batel, and that such a nether is batel, retro, is batel proactively, over vajie zohar b'shasa nether, as long as he remembers at the time of the nether this t'nai. Now, we're going to discuss in the Gemara what this means. The Gemara, what is the Mishnah telling us? The first thing is, the Gemara asks, the kiven the ama kol neder shani osid lider yehid batel. What happens if Reuven has said in advance any neder that I'm going to make is going to be bottle, and Shimon knows that it's bottle, so he's not going to listen to him. He's not going to come with him. The whole point of making the neder is to encourage Shimon to come, but if Shimon himself knows that the neder is bottle, what good is it going to do? Now, the Ran says, why doesn't the Gemara give a very simple answer? The case is that Reuven actually made this t'nai b'chashai, in private. The answer is the Ran says that no, since the Mishnah says that the Mishnah is saying that this is a matter of nidre ziruzin, in other words, the problem is that still, in that, even if we assume that it meant that he made the t'nai quietly, it wouldn't fit with the flow of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is saying that he made this neder, and then it talks about this t'nai, but really, shouldn't the neder itself be considered nidre ziruzin? I mean, if we're talking about, if Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov begins by saying aft, also, implying here's another example of nidre ziruzin. Not only the example from the previous Mishnah, where people are bargaining about 4 versus 2 dinarim, but also this example would be nidre ziruzin. Well, if it's nidre ziruzin, you don't need a t'nai. When two people are bargaining over an item for sale, we don't say they have to make a t'nai in advance that my nedarim are going to be bottled. Automatically, the one says 4, the other one says 2, and they compromise on 3, then we say it wasn't a nedar in the first place. So why over here are we even talking about t'nai? And also the Ran says, if the point is that he made this t'nai quietly right before he made the neder to Shimon, saying you won't be able to have hanos from my nechassim if you don't come eat from him, he'll for sure remember it because he just said it right now. So why would the Mishnah have to be mentioning or vad shi'ei zocher b'shas neder as long as he remembers it at the time of the neder? Of course he's going to remember. With that said, there are other Rishonim who learn, the Rosh brings that b'chlal. The Rosh, not over here, but in his Pesachim at the end of the Masechta, brings from Eliezer Mimitz, who says that no, B'chlal, such a T'nai would not be effective if he does it quietly. He would have to do such a T'nai openly, and therefore the Gemara's question is, then Shimon knows about the T'nai, and what good is it going to do?
Openly
in front of other people, yeah. Because otherwise it would be considered Dvarim Shibalei, yeah.
Yeah, because if he hears it, then you say it doesn't accomplish
anything. Yeah. Okay.
Does that mean there's death life?
No, so 1 second, so we're going to talk about. So the answer is Hasuri Masura. The Mishnah is missing words. The Mishnah means to say like this. The Mishnah is teaching us 2 separate dinim. Number one, a person wants that his friend, that Shimon, should come and eat by him. And he's pleading with him, and then Shimon is not wanting to. Umadirai, and he puts Shimon under a nether. Then Nidre Zeruzin, that is an example of Nidre Zeruzin, and therefore we don't need Hataras Nedarim for it at all, because like we said in the first Mishnah, Nidre Zeruzin are not considered a valid nether. So that's din number one. So that's the ask. So not only when it comes to people bargaining over things for sale, do we say that not only there, do we say that it's considered nidre ziruzin, but even over here. The Rosh explains, you would think, when it comes to mekach omemka, when it comes to buying and selling, yeah, people haggle and people bargain like that, and they say things they don't necessarily mean. But when you think over here, when he's trying to invite the other guy, you would think maybe it's not normal to make a neder under such circumstances. And therefore, if he does make a neder, then it's a real sincere neder. No, we say it's still considered nidre ziruzin. So that's din number one. Then din number two, the Mishnah is saying, if a person wants that for the entire next year, his nedarim should not be in effect, yamid b'Rosh Hashanah, let him stand on Rosh Hashanah v'yomar and declare, kol neder shani osid lidur yehe batel, any neder that I make during the coming year should be batel. So therefore, that's the second din of the Mishnah. In fact, by the way, in fact, Nimukha Yosef explains, the Chachamim, as the Gemara itself is going to say further on, that the Tana deliberately left the wording of the Mishnah ambiguous. Now, we often say Chasuri Mechsura, but usually Chasuri Mechsura would mean within one din of the Mishnah, we're leaving out some words and we expect that we can fill them in when we learn the Mishnah. To say over here, to break up the Mishnah and say that it's teaching us 2 completely different dinim, where we didn't even really introduce the second one properly at all, the Tana did that deliberately in order to obfuscate, in order to hide this din, because as the Gemara is going to say further on, we don't want it to be so well known to the Hamoinam, because then they're going to get careless with Nedarim. So in fact, we're going to talk about, after we go through this piece, And when we get to the bottom of the Amud, Bez Hashem, we'll talk about the relevance of this to Kol Nidrei. But this that we say, by the way, that you stand on Rosh Hashanah, so first of all, Mephoshim point out that you can't do it on Rosh Hashanah per se, because you can't make Tanoim like that on Rosh Hashanah. It means that you do it before Rosh Hashanah. And then also, since we find an apostate in Yechezkel, that Yom Kippur of a Yovel year in particular is called Rosh Hashanah. The apostate says they're Rosh Hashanah, but also Lachodesh, because the dinim of Yovel kick in on Yom Kippur of a Yovel. Therefore, that is the basis for why we do Kol Nidre right before Yom Kippur. But we do it in principle, we do it in Ba'od Yoim, because you can't be Matur Neder on Yom Kippur itself. But later on, the minhag also developed to do the Hataras Nedarim that we do on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and we have in there the line of Imshesh Tanai Modazos for Edom Ayoimod. So that whole thing is this pre-declaration that we're discussing over here in the Gemara. So we'll talk about further on. The Ran talks about, and Tosfos talks about at some length what the deal is as far as Kol Nidre that we say. So we'll get back to that. Anyway, so the Gemara asks, okay, so fine. So the Mishnah is telling us two dinim. So that explains what the Mishnah is saying. By the way, the Ran points out, and you find the note in the Siddur before Ataras Nedarim, that all of this only applies to Nedarim that you make between yourself and Hashem. It doesn't apply to Nedarim or Shavuos that you make to another person, because then you're doing it on his das. You have the line over there in the... You have the line over there in the Machzorim and in the Sidurim before Ataras Nedarim, Mavua B'Gemara B'Poskim. It's explained in Gemara and Poskim, which includes the Ran over here, that if you're making a Neder or Shavuot to somebody else, then your pre-declaration of saying that this Neder should be bottled doesn't work, because then you're making the Neder on the other person's Das, not on your own. So, the Gemara asks, Izohu. Now, what are we saying in the Mishnah? Fine, so you're explaining that the Mishnah is telling us two different Dinim, and that the second Din is about this tonight. But the Mishnah had said that in Tanai works, over Vajie Zohar Bashasa Neder, as long as he remembers at the time of the Neder that he had made the Tanai. Well, the question is, the Gemara says, Izohar Akra the Tanai became the Nidre. On the contrary, if he remembers when he makes the Neder that he had made the Tanai, then it means that right now he's overriding the Tanai and he wants to make a valid Neder. So how can that be? What's the meaning of Vajie Zohar Bashasa Neder? On the contrary, after all, why is he making a Neder now? So the Ran says it's one thing. You have, for example, that a person makes a neder, and then back to back with that he makes the tanai, and back to back with that he makes a neder. Then fine, you could say obviously he's not being oiko his tanai. He only just said his tanai. But here, where he said his tanai months earlier, Rosh Hashanah, and now in the middle of the year he's making a neder, and he remembers the tanai. So why should that say that the neder is bottle? On the contrary, we should say it means that now he wants to override his tanai from then and make a fully valid neder now. So why should that be? The Ran also brings in this connection from the Rashba that says that maybe this concept would apply only to an Amoretz, but maybe not to a Talmud Chacham. But the Ran says, I don't agree with that. Even for a Talmud Chacham, we should still say, if he made the Tanai months ago, Rosh Hashanah, and now he's making a Neder, then we should say the Neder overrides the Tanai. So why are we saying, well, Vajie Zohar B'Shasa Neder? Mele, if he forgot the Tanai, okay, he didn't remember at the time, so he made the Neder, forgetting that he had a Tanai in effect. Now, eventually, when he remembers the Tanai, then good, that helps override the Neder. But if knowingly he makes the Neder, knowing that he made so the Tanai, then why should the Tanai still be in effect? So Abai said, you're right, you have to change the wording of the Mishnah and say that it means as long as he doesn't remember at the time of the Neder. So meaning, in other words, so what did he say? His Tanai was, if I forget this Maidah, and I make the Neder from now on, and then as of now, I'm regretting it, and so forth. So that's what the Mishnah really means. It doesn't mean that he didn't forget it, that he did remember it. It means that he didn't remember it. So the Nemuka Yosef says maybe it's not Abaya, it's not completely flipping around the Mishnah. Maybe if the Gemara is going to make a distinction soon between there can be, for example, he made a Tanai on a certain type of Neder, and now he doesn't remember whether it was on that type or whether it was on a different type. Anyway, that's Abaya's answer. Rava Omar La'olam Kedamrin Meikara. Rava says, no, you don't have to switch around the words of the Mishnah. We can say that we're talking about, like we said originally, the Mishnah's wording is correct, Ovovachi is zocher b'shasa neder. But Chacham Mayaskinen says, Rava, what are we talking about? To venture hisna b'Rosh Hashanah, the case would be he made the tnai on Rosh Hashanah, like we said before. And by the way, the Rosh points out doesn't daft have to be Rosh Hashanah. It could be any time during the year. We mentioned Rosh Hashanah because it's a defined time during the year when a person is likely to do that. But in principle, a person can make such a tnai any other time during the year. Anyway, so Rava says, the Mishnah is talking about, he made this tnai Rosh Hashanah, v'lo yoda b'mahisna. He doesn't know what he made the tnai on. Which type of neder did he make the tnai on? Now, like this, when we say in Ataras and Darim, we say any neder, chutz meneder chanes v'shas mincha. But it doesn't have to be, of course. A person could make the tnai in advance and say, let's say, any neder that I make throughout the next year that has to do with wine, I'm mevatel in advance. But then, in other words, any neder that he makes about bread, for example, would be in effect, or vice versa. So here, he made a tnai. He doesn't remember now what the tnai was about, what specific class of nedarim it was about. Now he's making a new neder. So therefore, says Rava, what the Mishnah means, if he remembers at the time of the neder that there was a tnai, he doesn't remember what the tnai was. And he says, I'm making the neder having in mind the original tnai, then nidre lespe mamosha. Then his neder has no mamoshas because he's saying, I don't remember now whether I previously made a tnai that would cancel this neder, but I do know that the tnai that I made may have a bearing on this neder. Therefore, so then in that case, the tnai has a bearing on it and it cancels the neder. So in the end, when he remembers, for example, that his tnai was that any nedarim he makes as far as wine will be bottle, and now he just made a neder on wine, then yes, it will be bottle. So that's what it means. When the Mishnah says, Hoya Zohar, Ovachi Zohar, Bishasa Neder, means he has to remember that there was a tnai, he just can't remember the details of the tnai. But Loy Omer al Das Rishonani Noider, but if he does not use that expression, then I'm going according to my original Das, after the Tnai, the Kiyam the Nidre. Then we say that he's Oiker his Tnai, then we say he's uprooting his Tnai and making his Neder be intact. Because he didn't say this expression, Al Das Rishonani Noider, implying I don't care what my original Das was, I don't care that at the time I made a Tnai, I'm making the Neder anyway. Well, then the Neder is Chal. Now, the Ran and most of the Rishonim explain that Rava is not really arguing with Abaya. They both agree on the fundamental din that if he remembers at the time of his neder, which was the tnai that should have overridden the neder, then the neder is a valid neder and the tnai is not a valid tnai. So in other words, applying it to nowadays, if a person were to say, by a Torah Sadorim, or Im Shashkach Tanayim O'Dazos, for Edom Ayyomod, later on in the year, remembering that he had said that by a Torah Sadorim, he makes a neder, then the neder would be chal. The only difference is Abaya is getting that by changing the words of the Mishnah and saying, and Rava is saying, I don't want to have to change the words of the Mishnah. I would rather kvetchain. I'd rather be doichit to make that din fit within the words of the Mishnah. There are a couple of Rishonim Tosfos discusses that the Re holds, also the Tosfos Re holds, that maybe Rava is in fact arguing on the substantive din with Abaya. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is like the majority understanding of Rava, since we know when Rava and Abaya argue, the halacha is like Rava. So therefore, so the result is that yes, in general, if the person remembers his tnai when he makes the neder, then it's no good. But if he forgets his tnai, then the neder is bottled.
So
that's the thing. So if he makes the tnai, later on in the year he remembers the tnai and says, I'm making the neder, then the neder overrides the tnai. Only if he forgets when he makes the neder, if I forget this madar and I make a neder, then I'm regretting in advance. So that works. So that works. So that's what the Mishnah means. Uvadshi Zohar b'shasa neder, according to Rava, means that he remembers something. He remembers there was some kind of tnai, but he doesn't remember what the details of the tnai were. Okay, so the Gemara finishes off. Rav Huna bar Chinina sagu l'midrashay v'pirka. Rav Huna bar Chinina was thinking to darshan this matter of making a tnai before neder, and these details that we talked about, to darshan it in his public drasha about this halveritz v'shalei skamu nedarav, about making this tnai in advance. Omele Rava. So Rava says, how could you do that? Tana kamastim laskumi. The Tana is deliberately obfuscating it, is deliberately hiding it. We said we have to do a chasuri mechsura, and an unusual kind of chasuri mechsura too, to say that the Mishnah is teaching us a whole new din, which we didn't even have, we didn't introduce in any way. So that people don't get careless with Nedarim. You want to darshan at the Pirka? Don't do that. Then people are going to get very careless with Nedarim. So now comes the Ran and discusses that now we have the whole question. What is the deal? What is the deal with Kol Nidre then? So the first question is, what is Kol Nidre? Are you being matir the Nedarim from previously, or are you pre-canceling your Nedarim for the future? Now, the original Nusach of Kol Nidre, now, in fact, first of all, based on this Gemara, there were Ga'onim and there were Rishonim who didn't like the idea of saying Kol Nidre. Because like this. The first question is, if Kol Nidre is meant to be Ataras Nedarim, the problem is that the problem is, on the face of it, it doesn't really, Rabbi Natan in particular pointed out, it doesn't really seem to fit the format of Ataras Nedarim at all. Ataras Nedarim, you get up in front of a Beis Din, you tell them you're neder, you tell them you have Charoto or Pesach, as the case may be, and their matter, and you tell them you have Charoto, or they find you a Pesach, or you find yourself a Pesach or whatever, and their matter the neder. Kol Nidre, you don't have any of that. You're not mentioning your Nedarim. You're saying, in general, Kol Nidre Vesore, etc. You don't have a basin of three in front of you. Everybody's saying it to themselves, and the Chazan is saying it out loud. You're not really standing in front of a basin of three. So how could it be? The person is standing. And the Chazan himself, for example, how is he being matter as Nedarim? Who's the basin to be matter him? So therefore, for all those reasons, Rabbeinu Tam said that no, Kol Nidre cannot possibly be Hataras Nedarim. It has to be, like what we're saying over here in the Gemara, a pre-cancellation, a Tanai from the Nedarim. And therefore, we changed the Nusach. The original Nusach was, from last Yom Kippur until this Yom Kippur, any Nedarim that I made during the past year, Rabbi Natan changed it to what we have in our Machzor, Yom Kippurim Zeh, Ad Yom Kippurim, Abal and Otoyma, from this Yom Kippur till next Yom Kippur, we're pre-canceling our Nedarim. So fine, that you don't need a Bastin, that you don't need nothing. All you need is you're making a Tanai, and then you have to not, as we're saying in the Gemara, not remember the Tanai later on when you make the Nedarim.
Yeah, only one listening is the Chazan.
No, everybody's saying that to themselves. Everybody says Kol Nidre to themselves. The Chazan says it out loud, but everybody says quietly to themselves, along with the Chazan, the three times. With that said, though, on the other hand, three times, yeah. So on the other hand, the Rosh discusses in his Pesachim on this Masechta that maybe not, maybe we don't have to follow what, maybe we don't have to accept what Rabbeinu Tam is saying. We can say, in effect, that every group of people in the shul is are being matir neder on behalf of the others. You have, I'm standing in my place in shul and saying it, and around me there are people who are listening or who hear what I'm saying, and therefore I'm matir neder in their presence, and vice versa. As far as that you're not mentioning the specific nedarim, okay, you know, if you don't remember the neder, then you don't have to mention it specifically. He says, in fact, this is why we say it three times, the same way when you matir neder in the regular way, everybody says three times, etc. So the same way that is why we say Kol Nidre three times. He says that's also why we say the Nislach at the end, that we're saying that if a person was over on his neder until now, then Hashem should forgive him now that he was matir neder. So therefore, the Rosh says it can actually work as a form of Ataras Nedarim, and not just to pre-cancel the Nedarim like we're saying in the Gemara over here. So now we come, in fact, there are some rare sidurim and rare nuschos where they actually say both. Miyom kippurim sha'ova ad yom kippurim zeh, miyom kippurim zeh ad yom kippurim abal and otoyva, meaning that one of them is to revoke last year's nedarim and the other one is to pre-cancel next year's nedarim. They also, Tosfos points out over here that in that case also, according to Rabbeinu Tam's way that he changed it, then the nusach that we have, the grammar of it is not really quite correct. The in dauno or the ishtabano or the acharina is really lashon over. What we're saying over here, according to Rabbeinu Tam's thing, it should really be for the future. So, but nevertheless, okay, sometimes we have in lashon kodesh and in Aramaic, we can be a little bit loose with tenses. Sometimes we can use future instead of past or whatever. But now the question becomes, given what we're saying over here in the Gemara, that we don't want to darshan this in public in order that people are not going to get careless with Nedarim, if we say that Kol Nidre is to pre-cancel our Nedarim, should we be doing that in public? Everybody's going to see it. Isn't everybody going to get careless with their Nedarim? So in fact, Tosfos says that is why Kol Nidre is composed in a very difficult Aramaic that the average person wouldn't understand. So therefore, the average person is going to be saying the words, but not really realizing enough to understand that therefore during the year I can be careless with my Nedarim, and therefore that's fine. With that said, there were Rishonim who were against the idea of saying Kol Nidre, among other things, based on our Gemara. We talked about at the beginning of the Masechta also that the Gaonim, we talked about yesterday also, that the Gaonim Bechla were against the whole idea of being Matir Neder, unless for a Dvar Mitzvah, or unless in an emergency situation, or whatever. Again, because of the same problem, there were times when people were being careless with their Nedarim. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who bring, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that sometimes you have the other way around. Sometimes you have people who make Nedarim, and not only are they careless in making Nedarim in the first place, but they actually end up violating the Nedarim. So that's worse. In that case, we might as well try to be Matur the Neder, or try to pre-cancel the Nedarim where possible, at least in order to avoid that they shouldn't do that serious Aveira of violating the Neder, which is much worse. So the Maaseh became accepted in, by all Jewish people to say Kol Nidre at the beginning of Yom Kippur, despite these various reservations of the Rishonim about it. You were asking me yesterday, so what's the significance of that we start Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre? So again, on a simple level, it's because we're saying over here you need to do it before Yom Kippur proper begins, because you can't be Matur Neder, or you can't make these Tznoim or whatever on Yom Kippur. There is also something I saw, besides that I mentioned yesterday, that it's also a hint to Hashem to be matter his shvuah of sending us into galus. There is also something that they say, you think about it, we say when we're matter neder, we take it away as if the neder never existed. Really, in a certain sense, that's what tshuva is all about. A person did an aveira, now he's doing tshuva, and it makes it as though the aveira never took place. So that's a fitting introduction to Yom Kippur in that sense. One more thing worth mentioning in this connection, the Rambam brings from Gaonim that say that this whole matter of Tznai works only by Nedarim, not by Shavuos. The Rambam himself holds it works by Shavuos as well. So the Nusach that we have in Kol Nidre mentions Shavuos as well, the Shavuos son Allah Shavuos. But according to the Gaonim that the Rambam brings, at least that line should not belong in there, because according to them, you can't make such a precondition about Shavuos, but the Rambam holds, and this is accepted by Halacha, that it works for Shavuos as well. Okay, Shabbat everyone.